Good evening, everybody. Okay, so let's turn to Numbers chapter 23 and verse 21. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 21. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to bless this portion and speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. When we look at this passage, Numbers 22, 23, 24, we see that the Moabite king Balak has hired a false prophet, Balaam, to curse Israel. That's the background. And when Balaam tries to do it, what comes out of his mouth is just a blessing. And it's very beautiful to see what comes out of his mouth. He says in verse 21, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. It's a very interesting verse, because when you see the experience of the Israelites, it was totally contrary to this verse. They were grumbling, they were murmuring, they were complaining. Numbers 13 and 14, they wanted to go back, right? And yet God is saying about them, I have not seen iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. What is God? Why is God saying it? Because God, when he's talking here, he's talking to them based upon their position. Their position with him based upon his covenant relationship. It had nothing to do with their experience. So today I'd like to speak on the subject of sanctification. Sanctification. And many times this is a misunderstood subject, because we think about sanctification as being made holy or sinlessness and so on and so forth. And today we will look at what is sanctification. And there are three parts to sanctification, and then we will bring in an application. So let's turn to John chapter 17. Verse 18 and 19. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. When Jesus is saying here, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, it may appear as if Jesus had to become holy. But the Bible says that God is holy. He is not increasing in holiness. He is by nature and character holy. So when you read this verse, what Jesus is trying to say is, and for their sakes, I set myself apart, that they also may be set apart by the truth. The meaning for sanctification is to be set apart. The Lord Jesus Christ was holy in his humanity. He was sinless, and he died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he was setting himself apart to the Father's will. He was setting himself apart to what his Father had called him to do. And by executing that on the cross and being buried and risen again, all those who would believe in him would be set apart unto him. Are we understanding? Right? We did an illustration yesterday. All of us have things in the house. There are things in the living room, there are things in the bedroom cupboard, and then there are things in the attic. Everything belongs to us, right? But the things in the bedroom cupboard, in the vault, is what? Set apart. That's where the money is kept. That's where it is set apart. When you marry somebody, male or female, depending, that person is set apart unto you for the rest of your life from all those available in the world, right? Set apart. And so, this is the good news this evening, that when you and I believed in Jesus Christ, God set us apart unto him. Are we understanding? Everything belongs to God. Satan belongs to God. Demons belong to God. The whole world belongs to God. In Psalm 50:12, everything belongs to him. The whole world, unbelievers, everybody belongs to him. But it is only those who believe in Jesus that God sets apart unto himself. Now God has separated us from the world, and we are set apart unto him. And that's very important, because when you read 1 Corinthians, in verse 2, right? Sanctified in Christ Jesus, called, the King James says to be, the to be is in italics, called saints, you are set apart. And in 1 Corinthians 1:30, who became for us wisdom and sanctification, you are set apart. Even though the Corinthian church in their experience were all kinds of problems, but when God looked at them, what did he say? You are set apart unto me. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, the last part, we belong to him. Right? That's positional sanctification. The newest believer, the most sinful believer, the weakest believer, the moment he believes, is set apart in the body of Christ. It is once and for all. In Hebrews 10:10, Jesus, by his sacrifice, he set us apart, what? Once and for all. It will never be repeated again. God is not saying, today I choose you and tomorrow, sorry. No. You are set apart unto himself. Right? Then there is the third part. And I'm teaching New Testament 7. And I love the New Testament because it talks about finality. The third part is ultimate sanctification. And guess what? In 1 John 3, 1 and 2, the Bible says, when he appears, we will be like him. Right? So today, as we are believers here, the sin nature is in us. But one day, the sin nature is removed. Isn't that beautiful? Right? It is what? Removed. Like, have you removed that black thing out of a prawn? It's removed. Right? And we will all be perfect. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, he will sanctify you spirit, soul, and body. In Jude 24, unto whom he was able to keep you faultless and blameless. Right? Ephesians 5, he will present himself to his bride without blame and without fault. Isn't that beautiful? That is in the Bible. That talks about ultimate sanctification, where the sin nature is removed. And one day it's going to happen. And in between that is experiential sanctification. Now in experiential sanctification, what God does is, God, through his word, tries to get me to, for my experience, to match my position. So we must be very careful to understand that we don't relate to God based on our experience, but we relate to God based upon what is declared about us with respect to our position. And experiential sanctification is like Jeremiah chapter 18 verses 1 to 6, where there is the potter and the clay. He makes a vessel, it got marred in his hand, and he made it into another vessel as it pleased him. The background in Jeremiah 18 and the last part of Jeremiah 17 is sin. So God is saying, Israel, you are in my hand, I am the potter, you are the clay, and there's judgment going to come. But as an application of that, we are in God's hands. And this experiential progressive sanctification is a messy affair. What is it? It's a messy affair. Proverbs 14 verse 4, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much strength is through the ox. So church life is a messy affair. What is it? It's a what? Messy affair, where the preacher is a sinner and the people who are listening to him are also sinners. Maybe the preacher is a classic sinner, and I'm talking about myself, and the people who are listening are also classic sinners. But the issue is not about their sin. The issue is about how God looks at them. That's the whole issue. What God declares about them. What God is doing with their lives. In the preacher's life and in the people's life. And eventually what God will do in the end. You know what this does to us? This sets us free. This sets the man of God free. As a man of God, I don't have to be God in somebody's life. Right? As a husband, I don't have to be a God in my family's life. We don't have to play God in anybody's life. Because we are not God. God is God. Now this is what happens. For this progressive sanctification to happen, there must be the renewal of the mind. In Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now this is very important. God is not interested in changing my behavior, but God is interested in changing my thinking. In Luke 18, the Pharisee said, "Oh, you know, God, I'm like this. You know, I'm not like this guy. I fast. I pay tithes. I'm all that." And the other person, he beat his breast and said, "Lord, be merciful or propitious to me," and he went back justified. Now maybe what he was saying was right, but God would not accept that what he was saying, though it was right. Because when this man says, be propitious, he is referring to the blood sacrifice on the altar. Now this is important. In closing, many times we are Christians in the church, but we live by sight and we live in morality. And we get into what is right and what is wrong. I am right, so and so is wrong. Right? We get into accusations. And sometimes the accusations can be true. Oh, so and so did this, Lord. So and so did. And you know what the Lord will say? I do not behold iniquity in him. And if we say, why? Because he or she doesn't belong to you. He or she is set apart unto me. Are we understanding? See, if we understand this, what I'm talking today, it came like a rhema to me yesterday. This will transform our church life. Where church life will not be about us wanting a perfect church or a perfect man of God or a perfect spouse, but church life will be where we are imperfect, but we are looking to a what? Perfect God, who through his Holy Spirit and his word is what he is. Perfecting us. He is making us like him. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and we are all being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the. You know what is the greatest privilege as a Christian? The greatest privilege is on a daily basis, the Lord Jesus Christ is progressively making us more and more like him. So in closing today, this is the key to our lives. What is the key? Is aligning our thinking to God's thinking. You know, a man of God once said, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, what is the way of escape in temptation? He said, the way of escape is doctrine. What is it? It is doctrine. It is right thinking with God. Right? So let's encourage one another. Let's love one another as Christ has loved us. Right? God is only interested in my choice and how I am responding to him. God is not interested in me, you know, worrying about somebody else. And for those who do not respond to God in a positive way, God will discipline them as he disciplines us. But the key is to love one another and encourage one another and pray for one another. And go forward with God, because his fullness is in the body of Christ. Amen? One day, all our sin natures, what? Removed. Isn't that good? and we will be perfect. And the Lord will look at us and say, awesome. You're an awesome bride. Right? Isn't that good? So let's really be encouraged today. If we understand this, then we will not look for an idealistic Christianity, but we will look for a practical Christianity. And in closing today, this is what I want to say. If I don't understand this and I don't appropriate grace for my own life, I will never be able to give grace to somebody else. So we understand grace, we have it in our theology, but only by faith can we mix faith, receive it for ourselves, and we can appropriate it to one another as Christ gives it to us. Amen.